evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And before I go further, I want to thank Ray Schwab for being our producer this evening. Thanks, Ray, for being here. As always, we try and tell a little bit about what's happening business-wise in the Lehigh Valley. And during the holidays, we try and get in a little bit of the holiday spirit as well. And tonight, I think we've married both pretty well. Tonight, if you haven't heard, based on the promos for tonight's show, we're going to be talking with Historic Bethlehem Partnership, who is now doing business as Bethlehem Museums and Sites, Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites. So we're going to talk a little bit about why the change. We're going to talk a little bit about some of their business strategies to capitalize on all these amazing historical assets that we have here in the city of Bethlehem, and what it all means going forward with some of the recognition that Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites has achieved. So this evening with me in the studio is Charlene Donches-Mowers, who's partnership president. Welcome, Charlene.
Thank you, Sally, for having me. I'm delighted to be here with you this evening.
And it's been a busy day for you today, hasn't it?
It's been a very busy day.
The holiday season has arrived.
It has begun.
Lehigh Valley. And hopefully joining us during the show will be Lori Ann Wukich. Lori Ann is the vice president and managing director at Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites. I believe she's caught in traffic right now trying to get to us. So hang on. I think you're going to have an interesting show as we talk about what's going on with now known as Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites. But before we talk about that, Charlene, why don't you share a little bit with our listeners about your background? I mean, I know we go back forever, so but I don't know everything. You surprised me when we were talking about some of the things that you're doing.
Well, Sally, I am actually a native of Bethlehem, grew up here, went away to college and graduate school, got married, lived out of the area for a number of years, and then my husband and I had the opportunity to come back to the Lehigh Valley, and so we moved back to Bethlehem, and we are so glad we did, and we just enjoy living in this community, and not only in our city of Bethlehem, but also in the greater Lehigh Valley. There is so much to see and do and experience, and it's
absolutely
a wonderful place to be.
Yes. In fact, you could probably just go nonstop 24/7, 365 around here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so much all the time, which is great.
Now, how long have you been the partnership president at Historic Bethlehem?
I have been in charge of the museums and historic sites at Historic Bethlehem Partnership since 2000.
Okay.
And so it's just been a fabulous experience for me. And it is such an honor for me to have in my hands, in essence, and be responsible for so many of these incredible assets in this
treasures.
Community.
They're, oh, yeah.
So it's just wonderful. It's a great job. And most times it's not like a job. It's just so exciting and never know what's going to happen the next day.
That's correct. And we'll tell you a little bit about her day later. And so you'll understand that statement a little bit more. But for our listeners, especially those that might not be from the Lehigh Valley mm-hmm. originally, what does Historic Bethlehem encompass as far as sites?
Historic Bethlehem Partnership actually came together in the mid-90s when a group of museums decided to form a partnership in order to manage all these historic sites. Today, we have 20 buildings. 20 historic buildings.
They're not all in the floodplain, right?
No, they're not all in the floodplain. Only a few are in the floodplain. And if you were put everything together, we probably have about 20 acres of land
wow.
that we are responsible for here in downtown Bethlehem. And then in addition to that, we have a lot of stuff. We have wonderful artifacts that span the time from the early 1700s to the present day to help tell the stories of Bethlehem and the greater Lehigh Valley and eastern Pennsylvania. So 60,000 things in our collection.
And most of that stuff you've got to keep under certain conditions to
keep it nice
and fresh and usable.
That's why we are building a 5,000 square foot addition to the Kemmerer Museum of Decorative Arts.
Oh, I didn't realize
to
that.
To create a two-story vault, in essence, or a big closet, where we will be able to store the most sensitive objects in the collection, the things that really need that special care for heat, temperature,
light.
Humidity, light, those kinds of things.
Wow.
Yes, and it's very exciting.
Is that two-story vault, is that in process now? Or?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
We have received grant funds, and we have also received donations from the community.
Okay.
And it is about halfway finished, so anyone who's driving down New Street towards City Hall, look to your right, and you will see an addition going on behind the Kemmerer Museum, which is located at 427 North New Street.
Okay.
And it is, the walls are going up as we speak.
Wow, that's wonderful. I was there last night, but it was dark, so I didn't see anything going on. All right, I'll have to take a look during the day.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about business and businesses doing different things, it's pretty brave to change a name of a business, especially one that's been known in the Valley for 20-some years, mm-hmm. Historic Bethlehem Partnership. I mean, HBP just sort of rolls off my tongue with all the other acronyms we use here in the Lehigh Valley. But why Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites? What brought about that name change?
Well, we have noticed that, and I'll just give you an example. If I go to a chamber function and it says Charlene, Historic Bethlehem Partnership, and I introduce myself and say I'm in charge of museums, someone else may come up to me and say, are you in a law office? Do you provide accounting services? What kind of human services do you provide? And no, we're museums and historic sites.
Okay.
And so after looking at this and doing some focus groups and thinking, people were confused about the term partnership. So we are still Historic Bethlehem Partnership Incorporated, but we are using the opportunity to trade as, officially trading as, Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites for all of our interaction with the public. So then as soon as we say Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites, people know right away
exactly
mm-hmm. who we are and what kinds of things we do. It paints a picture in people's minds.
Is it HBSM yet?
HBSM, yes. I'll be very honest, Sally, with you and your listeners. I still find myself writing HBP or saying HBP.
So do
We're just making this transition, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
No.
And then you've got all the other stuff with the transition, the letterhead, the business cards,
exactly.
All that other kind of business stuff.
We're slowly making, this is literally just happening.
Okay.
So we're slowly making that transition, but we've changed it on the website, and wherever we can do it electronically, we're making that change.
Terrific. Now, there's one other thing I want to share with our listeners if they haven't heard, and then we'll get into some more of the programs mm-hmm. and sort of the business side mm-hmm. of Historic Bethlehem Sites and Museums. And that is, recently the Moravian Bethlehem Historic District received designation as a National Historic Landmark District. Now, I don't know how much our listeners know about that, but there's about 2,500 nationwide
mm-hmm.
From what Charlene and Lorianne had told me. This is a big deal.
It's a very big deal, and it can be very confusing because, for instance, in Bethlehem, there are 6 National Register Historic Districts, and there are a number of National Register sites. But a National Register, the National Register of Historic Places, has somewhere between 85,000 and 100,000 sites registered. It's a way of keeping track of all the wonderful historic places in the United States that have meaning on a local, regional, or statewide level. For example, our Burnside Plantation, which is our farm, our 6.5-acre farm here in Bethlehem, is on the National Register of Historic Places. James Burnside was the first Assemblyman to the Pennsylvania General Assembly in Philadelphia from Northampton County. Okay. Well, that's important on local, regional, statewide level. Mm-hmm. But how many? There were lots of first assemblymen
from all over.
So it's important for us, important for the state, but it's not necessarily national, a national story. The national historic landmarks and landmark districts must have two things: authenticity and integrity in their structures and in their site, and they must be telling a national story, something that is important to the entire country, not something that's important to a region. And so over the past number of years, I have been working with...
That's 10 years.
I have been working to try to provide all the documentation and working with the National Park Service and the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission here in our Commonwealth, and to document and show why historic Moravian Bethlehem should be a National Historic Landmark District, because of the national story and national implications that we have.
Okay, and some of the others are in the country that our listeners may be familiar with.
The portions of Savannah, Charleston, Newport in Rhode Island, these parts of these communities have national historic landmark districts. So Independence Hall in Philadelphia is a national historic landmark. Okay. Those kinds of things are meaning that they have this broad story. Here in Bethlehem, in the newly formed Historic Moravian Bethlehem National Historic Landmark District, we have the first pumped municipal water system in all of America. We had the first school to educate women. We had one of the earliest orchestras in America. We had incredible health care. So education, music, health care, the first performance, first complete performance of Bach's Mass in B minor, the first performance of some of Haydn's work happened here in Bethlehem on Church Street, not in Boston or Philadelphia or New York. So many of these things coming together, and the layout of the community, the fact that we had the largest concentration of pre-industrial revolution crafts, trades, and industries in the 1740s.
That was our first industrial park.
Basically, America's first industrial park was located here along the Monocacy Creek. These are national stories, and sometimes we don't think about the fact that here in the heart of the Lehigh Valley, we have such incredible stories that are important to the entire country.
We do, and you walk past these and you admire the buildings, but you just think they're Bethlehem.
Yes.
As you said, you don't think about the impact on a national level and what it has meant to our evolving nation.
Correct.
One of the things that I really would like our listeners to understand and to take with them, I mean, besides the facts that Charlene just shared, is that we have had three centuries of industrialization here in the Lehigh Valley. Now, there are other places that may have three centuries to Philadelphia, Boston, but, wow.
Exactly. This is I think we have to think about the fact that this was a very small community on the colonial frontier. It wasn't the main road between Philadelphia and New York. It wasn't on the coastline. It was in the interior. Mm-hmm. And many people lived within 50 miles of the coast. We are 90 miles west of New York City and 50 miles north of Philadelphia. And here were so many industries had their beginning. The Moravians had, as I mentioned, 35 crafts, trades, and industries here operating within a few years. The community was founded in 1741, and by the late 1740s, this was a very busy, small community of only a few hundred people, all working together for a common good.
So with this little industrial group that we had, did we then trade with Philadelphia or anybody?
Trade internationally.
Really?
The Moravians were a fascinating group of people. These were members of this religious domination, a mainstream modern Protestant denomination. But they were having correspondence around the world with other 18th century Moravian communities. They were trading in Philadelphia. They were trading with people in Staten Island. They were trading with New York. They were sending goods abroad. They were had Moravian communities in the Caribbean, Moravian communities in Northern Ireland, in Great Britain, eventually in South Africa. And there was a lot of conversation, letters, documents going back and forth, Suriname and in South America. So there was a lot happening, not just here, but beyond here. And someone, a historian who's working on some information about early Bethlehem has said, we really should be calling Bethlehem Maritime Bethlehem, even though it wasn't on the coast. It had so much trade going on.
Interesting.
Yes, to support their missionary work.
Was there anything in particular, Charlene, that this group of Moravians was really known for in its business or in its trades, crafts?
They had very interesting trades, and they had sawmills. And I just remember this story, which I was fascinated by. They had a sawmill in Gnadenhütten, which is Jim Thorpe, a few miles up the road. And they were cutting down trees and building a gemeinhaus, floated the logs down the Lehigh River, took the logs out of the river, the wood.
This is before the canal
This is before the canal. This is 1740s or 1750s. I'm sorry,
wow.
Sally, I don't know the date.
That's all right. That's
early. Greenland, the Moravian community in Greenland, needed a gemeinhaus. And so they here were building, getting together all the parts and pieces, built it, numbered the logs with a coating, I think Roman numerals or codes, took it down and shipped it to Greenland. So that just gives you some sense of the industriousness and the work ethic that was going on here.
That's incredible. So the log by number houses that is out there today, we actually had the dibs on it early on. Interesting. The other aspect of Bethlehem that I'm hoping most of our listeners know, but just in the founding of Bethlehem, because you know the Christmas season is very special, and you know that we're the Christmas city, but we're the Christmas city because I think of what the Moravians did early on.
Well, in the late 1930s, as you know, Vernon Melhado, as head of the Bethlehem Chamber, really worked to have Bethlehem named Christmas City, USA. But the story of the christening of Bethlehem is a wonderful story. It almost sounds like it's some Hollywood story.
It's made up.
Yes, it is. But it isn't. On Christmas Eve, 1741, Count Zinzendorf, who was the benefactor of the Moravians and was here with a small band of people, 20-some people, led the community from the first house, a little log cabin and the gemeinhaus, to the stable part of that first house. And there they were singing hymns, holding lighted candles, and they sang the hymn with a line, "Not Jerusalem, lowly Bethlehem." And Bethlehem was christened on Christmas Eve, 1741. Isn't that wonderful?
That's an amazing story. I read it in some books when I first came back to the area after college, and it was just like, this can't be real. You know, this is sort of surreal.
It's kind of one goosebumpy, exciting.
And, right.
It's very Christmassy, Christmas story.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on, and we'll talk about Christmas, but towards the end of this, as far as what Christmas 2012 is. But in the meantime, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to you.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedar Crest College School of Adult and Graduate Education, offering graduate programs and professional certificates to further your education and strengthen your resume. Learn more at sagecedarcrest.edu, sage.cedarcrest.edu.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
All right, Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me in the studio tonight is Charlene Donches-Mowers, and we're talking about historic Bethlehem museums and sites. Sites and museums.
Museums and sites.
Okay, and before us. All right. Which is a new name change, obviously, that they're just going under if you're just tuning in. And we're talking a little bit about the history of Bethlehem, of the Moravians and their industry here in the Lehigh Valley, and what they did to, now I know, go international. I mean, we think we're doing something major, and, you know, it's been done 200 years ago. I want to get back to the early Moravians, and you had talked about some of the things that they were known for. Their industry, we've spoken about, mm-hmm. which is the crafts and the water system, mm-hmm. et cetera. Music and health. Now, you talked a little bit about music and what was first done here in Bethlehem. But let's talk about health. How did the Moravians bring, I mean, you had indicated to me that, you know, they were like one of the first to have like a health system.
The Moravian community here in Bethlehem was very interesting in doing some research about our archives. Through our archival materials in the Moravian archives here in Bethlehem, determining that the Moravians, shortly after they came here, within a year or two, there was a trained physician, we're talking about 1743, and 15 people of the community who were trained as nurses, helping to take care of the community. And these were both men and women. And so these people were working to take care of anyone who was ill here in the community. They had set up a room in one of the buildings as a room to take care of the women. They had another place to take care of sick men. They understood they had to segregate people who were not well. They were compounding their own medicines. And we have a lot of their medical instruments and a whole set of Delft apothecary jars, some with their original, well, we think maybe original residue in them. We're not sure.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to read that they were understood that someone who was not well should have a light diet, that fresh air and exercise were important, and watching out for illness, for disease. And we just don't think about that happening that early on.
Right, and limiting it from exposure to the general,
to general population. Yes.
That's mm-hmm. incredible to me. That did that. I had not heard that before. I knew of the apothecary mm-hmm. on Heckweiler Place. Is that where it is?
Right. It's right behind the Moravian Bookshop. Yes.
Yeah, and so I knew that was there, but I just assumed it was for sort of compounding mm-hmm. herbs and stuff mm-hmm. from that time, and didn't link it to any other activity. So that's great. So we have a strong history of just being in business, caring for the people, understanding and growing with a format. And it sounds to me, Charlene, that even though there was separateness between mm-hmm. men and women, there was almost like an equality. I mean, it doesn't seem like there was a system like we've come up against later in life.
No. There was the Moravians at the first 20 years or so of the community, from the 1740s to the 1760s, operated under something called a general economy. And I think the easiest way to explain this is the fact that it was a single household. And not only Bethlehem, but Bethlehem and Nazareth. Bethlehem was the industrial community, and Nazareth was the farming community, and both were part of the Moravian church in America. And they treated this as a single household. And so the Moravian church administrators took care of everyone from birth to death. This was, in a sense, a communal society where everyone was cared for, mm-hmm. and no wages were exchanged, but people were cared for in everything they did. And at the same time, they lived under something called a choir system, not singing choir, but from the root word core, meaning group. So there were little girls, little boys, single sisters, single brethren, married people, widows, and widowers. And having that choir system and the general economy, everyone was working for the good of the community, both men and women. The women received just as rigorous an education as the men. And in fact, the girls' school started, I think, 2 months before the boys' school. And so the whole concept that women were the first teachers of the children, women had a role to play, women were seated at the table helping to make the decisions. There were women who were ordained ministers in the community in the 1740s and 50s. So yes, there was a very, very distinct role of women here in Bethlehem and with the Moravian communities that did not exist outside of this community. Because in many ways, as Sally, as you and I both know, women were often treated as chattel. Right. And schooling for the girls was a learning how to take care of a household.
Yeah,
not
sewing
have,
and
right.
Yeah, knitting. And
not
cooking.
Studying foreign languages and mathematics and sciences, in addition to fine needlework and China painting and everything else. Everyone learned to trade because everyone was committed to making the community succeed.
Well, and they certainly did. I mean, it's just incredible what has been maintained, what you have as far as your archives from the very early days. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, what a wealth. Mm-hmm. And I know Bethlehem is like a little gem here, but the importance of Bethlehem to the Lehigh Valley and to the surrounding communities with this and with the designation of the historic district, that could have tremendous impact, correct?
Oh, I hope it has a lot of impact. We are, this little section, 14 acres in the heart of Bethlehem, is just a microcosm of what has happened. And the Lehigh Valley is such a great place to visit and to live. And this just helps add to the quality of life of our larger community. We work very closely with Discover Lehigh Valley and with other tourism promotion to let people know all the things to see and do in this community, in addition to what we have here in downtown Bethlehem.
Well, and you just recently, there was a writers, was there a journalist conference?
Yes, there was a conference of travel writers
travel
here. And
that's right.
Discover Lehigh Valley brought over 100 travel writers here to the Lehigh Valley to learn about all the things to see and do. And various institutions have gotten great press across the country from bringing the travel writers here.
Yeah, I saw some of the articles you had shared with me, and it was, you know, really great to see. Was it the Washington?
The Washington Post had an article about one of our tours, which was, we were thrilled, and it now has been picked up by other newspapers, so it's great.
Terrific. Well, let's turn the discussion a little bit towards the business community here in Bethlehem and, or in the Lehigh Valley, I'm sorry, and working with historic Bethlehem museums and sites. There are some interesting things you guys are doing to try and make some experiences different for not for our corporate employees, but as well as visitors to our corporation. So why don't you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, I just had a special tour today, actually, working with PPL to provide a special tour in the middle of the day for their executives who are here for a series of meetings in Bethlehem and wanting to learn more about the history and have a walk. So after their lunch, I gave a short presentation on the history of the community, and along with four of my tour guides, we did a walk around the former Bethlehem Steel site in about 45 minutes, talking about the history of the community and the history of the Bethlehem plant and what life was like here in Bethlehem over the three centuries of industrial history.
Yeah.
So, and we also did some research to find out what kind of electricity and how much power was used by Bethlehem Steel Corporation so that we could actually target some information
about
their industry to the corporate group. And we have done that for other corporations also. We can provide specialized tours targeted to a time period or just an overall view of the community. When another group, Sharp Corporation, had some guests from Europe, we did a specialized tour. We also did that for Sanofi Pasteur, So we're very happy to put together special programming.
Okay, so I say Santa Fe, Pasteur, so I don't have my French accent, but you did something very special for them.
With the tasting. I practiced. We did.
And you were practicing your French.
I was practicing my French, too, to be able to greet them en français. Mm-hmm. But we also, they were interested in having a different experience for some of their people from Paris, and that was a beer tasting. And we worked with an amateur brewer to prepare a type of beer that would have been drunk in Bethlehem in the 1800s and provided a homemade beer for a taste test. And they enjoyed it very much to have that opportunity.
So for corporations, if they're looking to do something a little different with guests or employees, mm-hmm. like your walk around town or walk around the Bethlehem mm-hmm. Steel property, there's an opportunity to sort of have a team building because of the experience as well as
right.
education.
We can do team building exercises on our sites. We have our 6.5-acre farm at Burnside Plantation, where we can provide activities, or if the corporation has their own people that do that kind of mm-hmm. thing, can take advantage of a farm-like setting to do various activities.
It's close to home.
It's close to home, but yet when you're there, you feel like you're in another day, another time,
yeah.
and you really feel that you've left the 21st century.
That's amazing. I can just see where there's. I mean, you've had Air Products come through, mm-hmm. you've had PPL, you've had Sharp, you've had Santa Fe, Pasteur. You know, there's great opportunities. If somebody listening is mm-hmm. interested in, you know, exploring what they might be able to do or how to customize something for what they're looking to achieve, how do they do that?
The easiest thing is for them to send me an email.
Okay.
And then I can put them in touch with the person on my staff, because my email address is very simple. My initials, if you all have pencil and paper, CDM, Charlene Donchez Mowers, just my three initials, CDM, @historicbethlehem.org. So if there's someone is interested, you can also call our visitor center at 1-800-360-TOUR, T-O-U-R, and our visitor center staff would be very happy to put you in touch with the person on our staff who organizes the tours and plans tours either for private functions, for individual family groups, for associations, or for corporations.
Okay. Now, there's one other benefit that we haven't mentioned about some of this, and that is health walking, you know, preventative
yes.
Experience. So why don't you share a little bit about what the walking trail is or the heritage trail?
We, with our Collections and Public Programming Committee a couple of years ago, thought it would be, we had to find a way to reach out to people to get them up and off the couch and out of the house and learning about all the stories anytime, not just at 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon.
Or during the holiday season.
Yes. But there's so many wonderful stories to tell about our community in short snippets. So we researched and wrote an 80-stop heritage trail.
80 stops.
80 stops that goes throughout Bethlehem, north side, south side, west side, telling the stories of the three centuries of our community. And this tour is very special because you can download the tour onto a smartphone, or you can stop at our visitor center and borrow a digital recorder. And there are 12-inch by 12-inch blue signs that have a number on them, and the number corresponds to what you will hear. We worked with Touchstone Theater to provide the voices, and the City of Bethlehem installed all the signs.
Okay.
And the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce Foundation covered the cost of the sign production. So this was a
community
effort to make this happen. But we worked very hard with the city and the city traffic department to make sure that anyone could do this tour. So I actually walked the whole thing in a day with a member of the staff of the City of Bethlehem to make sure that wherever you go, anyone could do it, either on a bicycle or walking or pushing a stroller, or in most locations, in a wheelchair. So that there are ramps, there are very few locations where it's not possible. There are some trails that can be soggy, but we worked very hard that this is a way to walk and have fresh air and learn about our community. Whether you're visiting, you're at one of the hotels and just want to take, you know, a few hours and walk around, and you can do it. It's separated into six different links. So you can do the Moravian Link or the Steel Link or the Farmlands to Industry Link. And each one of the links is a little over a mile. So it's doable in short spurts.
Terrific. And the overall mileage, if you want to do it in one day like you did?
10.7 miles.
Yeah, you got that down. All right.
Yes.
10 point, that's a, get your walking shoes on.
Yes.
Yeah. That's terrific. And that's available now. And if they want to download it off the Internet.
Just go to our website and you'll follow the instructions to go to the Heritage Trail.
Okay, because I think I've got to do that. Lorianne had given me some information and I just haven't. I'm not real good with apps yet. I'm still learning my way around and trying to figure out what to do. But great. Now, we talked a little bit about a couple aspects of the historic district and the national recognition as a historic landmark district. We mentioned some of the places that have had this for a while and have really sort of grown because of it. Have industries relocated because of these kinds of districts? Have you sort of gotten that feeling? I know we're just sort of on the very early of understanding the impact, but is it a draw for a business or a company to bring their employees close to something like this?
I think if a community values its history and cares for this, the museums and historic sites add an incredible dimension, along with the arts and culture, to the quality of life of the community and the economic vibrancy of a community, because they're adding things that people can do, and people can also see that this is a well-cared-for community. People are interested in preserving their homes and caring for their surroundings. All those things help to add to make a place attractive for businesses, because they are going to want their employees and people who are coming to take advantage of their services come to a place that it's enjoyable to be. Yeah. And I think from that perspective, that having a National Historic Landmark District and having museums and having the arts and culture that we have not only here in Bethlehem but throughout the Lehigh Valley should be a good way of attracting businesses to come here, and also having businesses that are here stay here. Because we have so much to offer on many different levels.
And we've been known for, in the Lehigh Valley, the quality of life that we have to offer. And one of the things that seems to be the typical story when I'm talking to business leaders is that, you know, people will grow up here, maybe they'll go to school here, then they leave. But when they want to start a family, they want to come back to a place like the Lehigh Valley, because it just is, it's very comforting to bring up your family in this type of area. So the quality of life.
It's very much a quality of life story for historic sites. And it's also a tourism story. This is an economic development tool and not just pretty buildings. Because museums and historic sites contribute immensely to the economic development and the vitality of a community. Across the country, museums employ over 400,000 people in the United States and contribute $21 billion to the U.S. economy as of a couple years ago. So this is a huge addition to what is happening. Museums and historic sites are actively involved in business in the sense that we are providing things that people want to see and do, and helping maintain the value of property by maintaining our historic buildings and having this ambiance in the downtown is also helping with the resident value.
Well, and downtown Bethlehem certainly speaks to that. Yeah, maintaining 20 buildings, that must be a challenge.
Oh, it is very much a challenge. Because I think, for the most part, most of our buildings were built before about 1850. So that just adds another level of what we need to do. And we make every effort to follow the Secretary of the Interior standards for properly caring for our structures.
So an example of what that would mean.
That means as we do some work to repair a railing at the 1741 Gemein House, we have to make sure that we are repairing it in the proper way. And it looks exactly the same.
So in the same way it would have been done when it was originally installed.
Yes.
So that requires you to find artisans.
We have to have people who are very talented and understanding of what they can and cannot do to care for our buildings for specific things. We also do colors. What are the correct colors of our buildings? We just don't paint them pink or purple.
Okay.
Unless it's from the Victorian era,
right,
and when that is correct. So we're very sensitive to color choices and to style and design choices and material choices.
And does that get more difficult because things have changed a lot? I mean, to get that pigment, to get that material.
It's wonderful that we still are able to find people who have the talented trades that are able to do the work. And we also have companies, various paint manufacturers, who are able to do, to match colors. So we have been able to find that.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take another short break, so stay tuned because we still have more things to talk about, like the 2012 holiday season here in Historic Bethlehem.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side, presenting Going Green the Wong Way. Created and performed by Christina Wong, this true life adventure takes us from Christina's confrontational sixth grade science project to her wandering years as a missionary of recycling to her true calling as Los Angeles's patron martyr of carbon-free living. November 16th and 17th. For tickets and information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me as my guest this evening is Charlene Donches-Mowers, who heads up Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites, which
Very good, Sally.
Trading under Historic Bethlehem Partnership. All right, I'm going to get that down. And we were just talking about the impact of having something like the National Historic Landmark District that we just got here, and the impact that these types of organizations have on communities. And Charlene, during the break, gave me a statistic that I think you'd like to be aware of.
Trips to cultural and heritage institutions comprise some of the most popular activities when families go away on vacation. Just look at Colonial Williamsburg.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so that people who are visiting historic sites have a tendency to stay longer, 53% longer than they would do in other kinds of activities, and they have spend 23% more than others. So having historic and cultural museum attractions tend to encourage people who are interested in their heritage. That's not everyone.
Right.
But those people are willing to stay longer and spend more to have the experience.
Well, and if you combine that with some of the other things that are around here, I had tried to get Mike Stershing from Discover Lehigh Valley here tonight, but he had a conflict. But if you think about, you know, Dorney Park's Wild Water Kingdom, if you think about the Crayola, if you just start to go around, you know, the theater, the Allentown Museum, you know, we've got so much that if a family comes here, they can go into so many directions once they get acclimated.
There are so many things to see and do. here in the Lehigh Valley, that people can come and spend a week and not do anything. And I think sometimes people who are living in a community forget all the things that, all the opportunities they have right here in their own backyard.
Yeah, you almost have to go away to come back and appreciate. You know, you go away on vacation and then your eyes are open or you see differently than, you know, when you, oh, I didn't realize we had this here.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you're looking for it elsewhere and it's right in our backyards.
It's right here.
We were talking, and I just have one other question about, you know, the maintaining of all these facilities and structures, and you're talking about the artisans, the tradespeople that you need. Do we have sufficient talent locally to be able to do this? Do we need to try and foster or create in a younger generation this type of?
I think it would be wonderful if we had, and I just don't know if it exists here. I'll be very honest.
Okay, listeners.
But to have some way of making sure people understand how to work with wood, how to do a dental molding, how to use real plaster, and various other materials. And we want to make sure they do not become a lost art.
Right.
And I will give you the example of our 18-foot diameter water wheel. To find someone that would know, which is our part of our National Historic Landmark, the waterworks, to find someone who understood the pumping mechanism and how to do an 18-foot diameter water wheel and the right kind of wood to use for all the support beams was very, very difficult. We had to go to a firm in Upper New York State. There is no one anywhere in the area that would be able to do that.
So when you're looking for those types of skilled craftsmen, do you do an RFP? Do you put an ad in the paper? How do you try and search for that? Because if our listeners are interested, if they've got these skills, I mean, they should be emailing you.
We actually will reach out to the American Association of Museums. We will reach out to the Smithsonian Institution. We will reach out to local firms that deal with this, architectural firms, to see if they know people that can do this. We use a network to try to find. We have some people that we do know that do have certain talents, but we will go beyond that.
Yeah.
If we have someone that we're really, something special that we're looking for.
Okay, so listeners, there's an opportunity here. If you're aware of someone or if you yourself have this skill, or maybe if you're interested in learning, at least letting Historic Bethlehem know that might be important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Well, let's move on a little bit to what's happening now. I mean, we're about to get into the holiday season, and or we're in it. I've heard Christmas carols the other day, and they're all full-time already. We have the turkey trot coming up.
Yes, we're so excited. If any of your listeners are interested in shedding a few pounds after that wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we do a 5K walk run here in downtown Bethlehem. And we've been told by people who are serious runners and by walkers that this is great because it's uphill and downhill.
It's hard.
It's very challenging. And we had good runners working with us to map out the course, and it is a certified 5K course, and we have over 1,000 people signed up to walk or run. Lots of families come back year after year and pushing strollers and just having a wonderful time, and serious runners.
Well, and I saw outfits last year, family outfits,
they were all dressed alike. Yeah. It's fun, and we had people running in costume. We had someone running carrying a turkey. So it's a fun run, but it can also be a serious run for serious runners.
Yeah, and they usually start first. Correct?
Yes, we have the runners starting, I believe, 5 minutes before the rest. And so, if anyone's interested, just go online and.
Oh, I went down last year and watched a friend of mine who was running. I was just sort of watched, but people with their dogs, with strollers. I mean, it's a real nice community.
It's a wonderful community event. It's lots of fun. Mm-hmm. So please join us. Or if you aren't interested in running or walking, come and cheer for the people who are.
It is. It goes pretty quickly. So.
I'm amazed how quickly. Mm-hmm. Some of the early runners are back in 15 minutes.
I know.
Yes.
I would not be there. I'd be on that 10-mile thing that you did for a whole day. But so what else is going on, Charlene, this year with the holidays?
Oh, Christmas in Bethlehem is always such a special time. The candles are going in the windows, and we're decorating our sites. This year, to go along with our Bethlehem Steel exhibit at the Gundy House, which is located at the corner of Market and Main Street, the 1810 Gundy House. Our volunteers are decorating 3 trees, red, white, and blue, in keeping with the spirit of the United States. So we'll have a red tree in the elections. And so we have a red, white, and blue tree. And we work with the DBA, the Downtown Business Association, and our 1810 Gundy House door becomes the door to open every day at 5:30 as an Advent calendar door. And each day, a business in town or in the Lehigh Valley opens the door and does something. So every day at 5:30, starting December 1st, please come to our Gundy House and you will get a surprise.
So what would a business do? What's a typical thing? Do they do something with history? Do they do something?
They do whatever is appropriate for their business. And they just have to give out a little treat or something. We've had people come and sing. We just don't know. It's all organized by the DBA. We provide the space, and it's right next door to our visitor center, and it's just a fun thing to see what happens. Yeah. What's coming out of the door today?
Now, the season, although it does start a little early, really kicks off with the lighting of the Christmas tree at City Center?
Yes. It starts with the Christmas tree lighting on the day after Thanksgiving. I believe it's at 4:30, 4:35 o'clock, on Friday afternoon. And that really kicks off. I know we see things elsewhere for Christmas now, but that for the city, that really kicks it off. And that's when the lights go on at all the buildings and around the city and on the trees. And all our museums and historic sites are decorated for the holidays. This is the 75th anniversary of the Puts.
Oh.
And so I know that Central Moravian Church has a wonderful large puts, as do other Moravian churches. And a puts is a way of telling the Christmas story in miniature.
Okay.
And we will have several historic putses on display at the 1741 Gemeine House at the Moravian Museum as part of our Christmas. And other Christmas people can learn about other Moravian Christmas traditions when they come to visit the Gemeine House. And our blacksmith shop will be open Thursday through Sunday for the whole holiday season. And in our blacksmith shop, we will also have some other things that you can buy, in addition to watching the blacksmiths handle hot iron and see the sparks fly and hear the sound of the anvils ring.
Wow.
We also have carriage rides. Okay. If people are interested in carriage rides, walking tours. We have our old Bethlehem walk. If it's happening in the evening, it's a candlelight walk around downtown Bethlehem. And the steel tour that we do from the Arts Quest Center will highlight some of the traditions and some things that went on at Bethlehem Steel during the Christmas season. So we have adapted the steel story to talk about that.
Okay, so can you give an example of one of those?
When the men in the working would make things to decorate the tree that they might have put up in their shop, those kinds of things.
Okay.
So that's kind of stories. And what kinds of toys might have been made out of steel, from Bethlehem Steel.
Okay.
So we have some examples of that. So
So you're not busy at all then?
Oh, not at all.
And then we have groups coming, then you have to...
Yes, we have groups coming.
Tours?
We have bus tours. We provide step-on guides for buses that are coming in for Chris Kindlemart or any other activities. So we can do Bethlehem by day or Bethlehem by night bus tours. We also have what we could call public buses. If someone would like to have a bus tour, they can join other people from the community or other visitors. So Thursday through Sunday evenings, either from our visitor center on Main Street or from the welcome center at the Stockhouse, can get on a bus and have an hour ride around town and learn about the history of the community.
So that bus, it really helps to move people from the north side to the south
side?
No,
it does not.
Oh, that, okay.
That's not, this that's is, not the that's not, it's just simply, you get on the bus on Main Street, and then you get off the bus in Main Street an hour later, and you have a tour of Bethlehem with one of our guides in period dress. And then the same is true from the Stockhouse.
Okay.
And both tours are the same. They just start at two different locations.
Okay. Do you need to sign up for that, or is that?
You can go online to buy tickets or call 1-800-360-TOUR if you're interested in taking a tour and order your tickets ahead so you can get whatever time you would like. That would work for you.
This is such a special town. I mean, it's special anyhow, but, you know, around the holiday season, there's just so much. It's a little overwhelming. You almost need a planner, you know, what's going on where and what time around
this.
We
have a master chart. We have another wonderful tradition, and that is the Burnside Crafters Green Sale, December 1st and 2nd. We have a group of volunteers at Burnside that make wreaths and various holiday decorations. They're all handmade that they sell on
over there at
Burnside Plantation on Shanersville Road.
Okay.
So
good. Lots of stuff.
Lots
of stuff. One of the things we wanted to cover tonight when we had talked was sharing with the community the Capital Campaign and, you know, what you've been able to do because of the generosity.
Oh, my goodness. The community has been very generous. We have raised over the past several years about $8 million to do restoration work and to add to our endowment funds. Museums, Historic Bethlehem is a private, not-for-profit institution. We have 7 full-time year-round staff and a number of museum teachers and tour guides. But it's very small, and without the membership of the community and their generosity from foundations, corporations, and individuals helping to support us, we would not be able to do what we do because we do not receive – we're not funded by the city. We're not funded by the state government. We occasionally get grants, but as you well know, a lot of that funding has gone away.
Well, there's no money tied to this designation either.
And there's no money that's tied. No. It would be nice, but there isn't. So we have been very fortunate to have received generosity from the community. And that is how we are able to add this 5,000 square foot addition to the Kemmer Museum.
Okay.
That is how we've been able to do some restoration work at the Grundy House. We have been able to do the restoration of the 1758-65 Nain Schober House, which is the only building that in the entire Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Charter that was built by and lived in by Native peoples that still exists today. So we use these funds to help us care for and preserve and our priceless structures that we have here.
Right. And if anybody would like to become a member of Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites, how do they go about doing that?
Just go on our website, www.historicbethlehem.org, and you can become a member. You can stop in at our visitor center. You can call our main office, 610-882-0450, extension 10. And Jan would be very happy to sign you up.
Okay. And you get some benefits because of your membership to some of the museums and some of the
activities. Free admissions to the museums. We also, if you are a family member, you also get to bring your children to our Back to Your Roots programs and Hunt for History programs, interactive activities for children on the first and third Saturdays of the month.
Charlene, wonderful. Thank you so much for being a guest this evening.
I have had a wonderful time chatting with you, Sally.
Well, I always learn so much when I talk with you. You know, I think I know a lot about Bethlehem, and then I realize how much I don't know because there's just so much rich history here. It's just wonderful. Listeners, thank you for being with us this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And please stay tuned, although we're going off the air, please stay tuned for Rick and Celtic Fair. He's coming up next. And Ray, again, thank you for being our producer this evening. And everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I'll catch up with you before the holiday.